All right. Thank you, Hatch Attack listeners, for tuning in to KMRDLP, Madrid, New Mexico, today. And, you know, I just want to remind everyone that U.S. presidents have been acting like they are immune to the law since the history of U.S. presidents began. So, realistically, this has been going on for a lot longer since Donald Trump, definitely. And I would say that, yeah, it's uncomfortable to see it in words and written on paper. But again, we've been doing this for a long time. So there's my two cents.
Can I put in two?
Please. Please do.
All right. Here's a couple things. Hi, everybody. Good morning. I wanted to give a shout out to someone who posted on the Facebook page locally yesterday. They said this. They were like, apocalypse is rooted in a Greek word. Mm-hmm. To lift the veil, you know? And a lot of people are like, how does any of this have to do right now with white supremacy? I'm so tired of hearing about white supremacy. This was on my mind last night. The reason why it's so glaringly clear is because people of color have been trying to tell y'all this for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes.
And you just been telling us, oh, why are you so mad? What is this? What? And it's like their overseers are literally crazy and gone off the rails, and they're coming for all of us, you know? And I have to give love to you and other white abolitionists who have gone into the apocalypse long time ago since we've been little kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that's points one and two that
yes.
I want to make is like the veil is off your eyes now. The scales have fallen away. Wake up, America.
Yeah, I think it's the things that made people feel this much safer, certain people and certain populations of people feel this much safer are gone now. And that is what's...
And you're going to have to work harder. This is the time where unity is really important. Because now we have to look at the wounds. If we're really going to come together, and we'll get into the details of how we get through this a little bit later on before we go over what we're getting through, which is part of the therapeutic healing process as well. We got to look at these scars, peel these scabs. But folks, you know, you don't get a free pass because you're like, now I understand, you know, because last week they did this, but I've been ignoring you and silencing your voice for generations. And I'll do it again as soon as I'm free of this, like soon as a liberal, you know, vote blue, no matter who, you get yourself back into a nice, comfortable place where you're falling back asleep on your, what is it? Your satiny pillow of apathy or whatever.
Yes.
You know, it's not good enough. We have to keep moving forward. So, you know, now you have to step up and really do more than ally work, but look at what we need to acknowledge and become a true community that takes care of each other.
Yes.
So we can survive going forward, period.
And it's political engagement is not specific to one season.
Right.
Doesn't stop when the Supreme Court lets out session. Doesn't stop after voting day. Like, it's every day, guys, every day.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk about, so mainly, I guess, the cases... The big four, in my opinion, were the Starbucks versus the National Labor Boards, which chipped away at the right to unionize in a pretty big way. Chevron deference being overturned, which takes regulatory ability away from federal agencies. Grants Pass versus Johnson, which is the criminalization of being unhoused for, I mean, it is. That's what it is. It's other things, too. It also says it is... Gorsuch definitely carved out language for it, including protest encampments in this ruling. So we have to be aware that it is actually an infringement upon everyone's First Amendment rights that just happened. We have the right to assemble and protest that, or we're supposed to anyway. That's what they tell us.
Not if you sleep, you go home. Don't sleep. Don't.
But even, I think it's even just putting up the tents, like what was happening at college campuses and Occupy movements. Exactly. And then of course the president can't be prosecuted.
Right.
Which again, did I miss the part where we were like regularly prosecuting presidents for war crimes and things they've done bad in office anyway? Maybe I did, but I don't think that's actually ever happened. So again, it's one of those things that like, yeah, scary to see it in official ruling and not, I don't know, how much really and truly, how much different is that from where we were a week ago?
I don't know. I mean, I want to bring some sort of, you know, well, the American people just needed to see it written on paper, yeah. Which is exactly what I railed against three minutes ago.
Right. It's yes and. We yes and, yeah, on
but
this
it,
show.
It does look really bad, though. It looks really, really bad. It looks really bad. But it also looks like, okay, here we go. Now, what are you going to do about mm-hmm. it? And so this is kind of the rabbit hole that I peered into, but I did not go down last night. And I think we have weeks together.
I think we're going to be talking about this for a long
weeks
time.
Together. We're going to go forward for weeks. By the way, can I take a minute to plug my show?
Of course.
So we're on tomorrow at 9 to 10. I'm going to have you and Hot Diggity on.
I'm so excited.
My show is called In the Cab, for those who aren't familiar. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. here on KMRD. And you can also find archives of the show at mixcloud.com under Dream Queen 3 a.m. and also on YouTube. You'll get the talkie bits. The Mixcloud, I highly recommend it because you get all the musical selections and all of that, but they hold the copyrights like the radio stations. But on YouTube, you can only get the talks, which is great because we blow your mind. We've done several segments together. And so laws can be overturned. Rulings can be overturned, obviously.
Yes, they can.
Right?
Yes,
because
they can.
Because they just did it to so many other things.
Right.
So we can't get disheartened and flail around too much about
right.
this. That's another thing that I think can get annoying about the, you know, certain class or political bents, is that folks spend a lot more time being upset than they do being active.
Proactive, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so we need to get local laws on the books, you know, saying that they're not going to go after you.
Correct.
So let's talk about Santa Fe a little bit and the panhandling median.
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about this on the show last week, but Santa Fe, again, I do not think that this bill is going to pass or has any hope of passing. However, we will see more like it. But again, it's they're saying the quote-unquote anti-panhandling bill. Also, they're calling it the median safety bill, right?
Right.
There's a lot of language around keeping pedestrians safe. And where's our public transportation? Like, right? Like, it's just so, like I've said before, like, if you're going after a problem in an attack mode and not an alleviation mode, like, you're not actually looking to solve this problem. You're looking to punish people. But this bill would have restricted all activity, all First Amendment, any like activity on medians in the city that were 36 inches or narrower, so 3 feet or less. But that's basically every median downtown. That's definitely all the medians by the Capitol. And it was no seeking petition signatures, no soliciting funds or donations, no protest, all very explicitly laid out. Like, just you cannot be on a median that is 36 inches or smaller, again, if this bill passes, which it probably will not. The mayor is not up for reelection. It's his bill. There's no reason for him to keep trying to ram this through with as much opposition as it's already received. And currently, right now, the city council committee that deals with ADA regulations mm-hmm. is reviewing it because they think it goes against the ADA. So again, pretty low hopes of the passing. However, the fact that something like this was put forward by, again, a quote unquote Democratic mayor, mm-hmm. you know, RD, it's all part of the capitalistic team. And I think even just trying to pass laws like this, it's a fear tactic, right? It's just to, number one, make people who are vulnerable and in need afraid to ask for help, but also anyone who's like in our place, working class folks, oh, work harder so you're not that, right? Like, it's this whole cycle of fear-based tactics.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't help but recognize the protest angle of it.
Hmm?
So governors are under pressure to go with federal law. You know,
this is a mayor. Although this...
But I mean, it all yeah. trickles down.
Yeah, and I was going to say this is coming from actually our governor in the State of the State address, which I should probably watch. a few months too late. But I guess a big part of Michelle Lujan Grisham's State of the State address was, quote unquote, median safety is right. the nice word that they're giving it. So
that's what I'm saying. It's like when you were talking about him going out of office, mm-hmm. I think it doesn't matter. It was brought forth by a lobbyist.
Yep.
And it was or the federal government at this point. They're trying to crack down ever since. Geez, what really made it the worst right now? Palestine, free Palestine. Hello, anybody out there?
Yeah. Yes. did it even start before?
Well, it started, yes, but now that Project 2025, and we're really just marching forward into the new world order. Like,
I think for me, maybe this is also just when I started paying attention to full transparency, paying attention the way I do now, was Ferguson. The protests in Ferguson, I think, ramped up the, like, that was the first time we saw the National Guard deployed against, well, no, it wasn't. My bad. Since the civil rights movement,
L.A. Did they send the National Guard?
Did they send the National Guard in for Rodney King?
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, we should check that. It was definitely the first time that the National Guard shut down a U.S. city and wasn't letting anyone else come in to add to the protest, or aid come in to protesters, and that was a big difference to where they were just like, no one in, no one out. And I know that that was 2014.
Okay, hold on. I'm here at military.com. And let's see. This article is from, it doesn't have a date on it right at this second. 2023. Okay. And it's called Six Times That the military was used for riot control in the U.S.
Kent State would have been another one. Thank you, Bad DJ.
So 1992 Los Angeles riots is on here. And then you have the 1968 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. murdered. That was in 68. Then you have the 1967 Newark riots.
Okay. I think it was, when Ferguson, they shut it down. That was the big, a new level of fascist crowd control that mm-hmm. was introduced there. Because again, like a lot of BLM activists from other states were trying to get in to add to the protests, whether it be assistance or just presence on front lines, and people were blocked out of
Except
Ferguson.
That kid, when did
that was 2020?
That was 2020.
Yeah, that was 2020.
Okay.
And so for me, that was a lot. Like, I remember one friend of mine and I, like, were watching the what was going on in Ferguson and just like pulling our hair out, and everybody else was like, why? And I'm like, because this is going to be the plan now for every political dissent movement from now on. And only on one side, not the right side. Like, right? Like, if the January 6th political descendants, if you want to call them that, did not see the same level of backlash. And that's always the case. Like, when we saw the Patriot Act go in, it's been used way more against organizers and folks on the left than it ever has on the side that they, again, pitched us as its intended use. Yep. And same with Senate Bill 686. Like, all this, the TikTok ban, all this stuff that Diggity's talking about is they, even Median Safety Act, right?
Oh, right, back to this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's here to keep you safe. It's to protect. But no, it's not. It's actually to chip away at your First Amendment rights. So, but so for me, I don't know. I think there's been so many turning points. It's almost impossible. Like, it's impossible, I think, to pinpoint the potential to get to this place. This fascist of a place has always been there. And there has been just countless failures of legislators on either side of the political spectrum to do anything to mitigate it. So, I don't know. I said 2 years ago, I was like, when the Roe v. Wade decision happened, like, I remember saying then to people in their faces, like, this is not the end of the bodily autonomy, the attack on bodily autonomy that's coming. I'm like, right now, like, housing is a bodily autonomy issue, all of this, and now here we are. And you can say what you want for marches, right? But like, there was a march about Roe v. Wade. There was Matt. Like, what's happening? Were we just that burnt?
I'm pretty burnt.
And what? And we marched yesterday, Jada.
I know, I'm dark.
Dream queen.
It took me a long time to even get there. But I like the arts and crafts of making the signs. That was really fun.
Yeah. So let's talk about ways then we didn't make it not as much of a burnout. Have sign making part, like, you know, involve it in your social interactions, right?
Bring creativity into it.
Yeah. And glitter.
Don't bring glitter.
I'm going to have glitter signs.
Love your friends. Yeah. And people who aren't your friends. This is real. I'm having multiple thoughts at once. Sorry, my channels are getting jammed. Real quick, who cares? That's my question, right? I'm here under the guise of a confused American. I have been in a cave under a rock for a little bit because I'm working on some really good things from the self-awareness, personal development part of this, the staying sane part of this, which I think we all need. Mm-hmm. So getting the news part, I've been only taking in a trickle for the past few weeks. But my question is if I'm a confused American and I'm like, you know, I care about putting food on my table, gas in the car, taking care of my family and, you know, some carnal pleasures, right? Why would there be a government that used to be shadow, now not so shadow no more? Why do they want to control every aspect of my life? I don't get it. I think y'all are a couple of kooks on the radio just trying to get people riled up. I'm trying to go and get some tacos and beer. It's 4th of July.
Right, that's what they want you to do.
Right. Well, who's they, man? It's not real.
Who's they? Not even our politicians. Again, the what, 2,000 billionaires in this country or worldwide?
Let's talk about Leonard Leo.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the shadow figures.
Talk about the shadow figures. Leonard Leo is someone that I learned about on Instagram last night, and I don't know how many of y'all out there know about Leonard Anthony Leo, born November 1965. I was about to say 1865. Might as well be.
Ew, he's a Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. Hey, no, Eos. I got some good Scorpio friends. But hence, shadow figure.
Yeah. Man, I mean.
But I stumbled upon his name as I was listening to Joanne Reed, love her, of The Readout, talking about the Leo Six or something. She called them the Leonard Six on the Supreme Court. And I was like, who's this Leonard person? And apparently, Leonard Leo, according to Wikipedia, is an American lawyer and conservative legal activist. He was a longtime vice president of the Federalist Society and is currently, along with Stephen Calabresi, the co-chairman of the organization's board of directors. Okay, and he's created a network of influential conservative legal groups funded mostly by anonymous donors, including the 85 Fund. Let's open that in a separate tab. And the Concord Fund, an American conservative advocacy organization, which serve as funding hubs for affiliated political nonprofits. Leo also assisted Clarence Thomas in his Supreme Court confirmation hearings, and led campaigns to support the nominations of John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. Those would be the Leonard Six. And, you know, you could go to Wikipedia and just see briefly his career in judicial nomination work during the Bush administration, the Trump administration, and the current justices. If you want to call it justice. Mm-hmm. So
the wizards.
The Skeksis.
Yeah, the Skeksis. Yeah, that's
yes.
Right.
So this person is one of several conservatives who are actively puppeting our government. Okay? And these are things that we've been talking about for decades, people that I know. I mean, y'all, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I've had friends putting zines out about these people for a long time. So they're coming out of the shadows because it's the apocalypse. The veil is being lifted.
Yeah.
So what's left to do as responsible Americans but jump on a bandwagon, because we love a bandwagon, if they're playing good music. And I'm playing along to the tune of Abolish the Supreme Court. I mean, I'm not a call to action because I'm not doing that. I can't do that dangerously close to the line. But I'm just saying that there are ways out of this, and it's about taking a stand.
Yeah.
And if enough of us hold on to the tatters of the Constitution, people have been grabbing it and rewriting it. Let's rewrite it for some good.
Mm-hmm.
This country, our first genocide was based on religious freedom to do what? Like, they wanted to break away from the Catholic Church and set up a Protestant religious state here. Okay, let's just be real about what it
is. And even from the other Protestants, they were too hardcore. Like, the Protestants that were in England were like, to the Puritans, were like, hey, can you, like, you're burning a lot of people. Can you chill? Okay. And they were like, no, we don't want to chill. We're going to go
mess somewhere else.
Yeah, we're going to go. Yeah, we're just going to go burn as many people as we want over there. And so you'll stop. And like, which is so not the way they, again, the pitch on that is like, what? That's not what I was like imagining when you hear they want to escape religious prosecution. Like, no. Rewind. That's not what was happening.
The British really have a nice little history of kicking out their unstable citizens and sending them other places. I mean, is that like Australia's whole backstory?
Yeah, that's all the criminals.
Probably Canada.
Canada, wasn't that Canada a lot of French settlement though?
Yeah.
From French trappers, beaver fur trade, right? Wasn't that?
Boundaries aren't real.
I know.
Aren't real.
That's true.
Never mind. Sorry. I'm not going to bash. I'm going to bash and become nationalist.
Which actually could, that would bring me to one of my solutions is, you know, land back, abolish borders. Let's go. Like, how much legitimacy does the Supreme Court have if if we're ceding all federally run territories back to rightfully owned tribes? So explore the land back movement. If that term is still a little scary for you, you know, read about it. See what's actually out there. It's actually not that scary. And of course, my main thing is going to be just be really conscious and intentional with where you put your money these days. That's what keeps the whole system churning and getting more and more dollars out of that system. The corporate level, imperial level system is really, that's the only language they understand.
And flooding the halls. I mean,
oh yeah, no, yeah, yes.
You know
yes.
what? Like, yes, in talking about money, the way that we think about each other, when you trust these politicians have your best interests at heart over mine, like you're better than me, okay? Like when you see what they're doing to your neighbor,
mm-hmm.
And this is a very famous quote from Holocaust times. When they came for this person, I was silent. When they came for that person, I was silent. When they come for this person, I was silent. Now they come for me and I hear silence. I'm by myself now.
Yep.
And who do you think? You think they're going to run out of blood wanting to drink blood? No.
Right. I mean, yeah, the machine needs it. The machine requires a blood sacrifice all the time. And it's, yeah, that's. I read something recently that was like, we can't outfight and violent this system.
Right.
We have to out-organize and create new systems that make this one obsolete.
John Trudell is very has a really passionate bit that he says about that. He's like, we have to outthink them. We can't outgun them.
No.
You know?
No, we can't.
And he also used to say, live among them as if you're surrounded. You know, not one of them, but live among them as if you're surrounded. And that we're going to talk tomorrow on my show about how it feels to be an outspoken person in today's world, right?
Yeah.
We can't lean on the elders much more. And that's another project that I'm working on, is talking with the elders and letting them be elders, like letting them. I wish we could let them rest a little bit more, but they're dealing with some of the stuff that same stuff that we have to deal with. Houselessness, paying bills, illness. They got, you know, a whole lot of money problems too.
That is the most rapidly increasing unhoused population is citizens 55 and older.
Yeah.
That's the reality right now because we have no elder care.
Right. So... And we can't put them in Soylent Green because a lot of them are sick.
Not yet. I mean, again, Chevron deference overturned. Actually,
come on, no, Granny. We got to help them out.
Yeah.
But the point being that, you know, collecting the stories and seeing how we are the ancestors of the future. We are now the front. Actually, we're like the youth are in the front, and we are with them because we refuse to think we're not used anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's starting to sink in a little more for me, especially now that I have like people that I have trained in certain, like, you know, like at the food program. Like I have like proteges now that I'm like, them. Oh boy.
Yeah. And they're, you know, and we have to keep
and they're great. And I love you guys. If you're listening, yes, you're the best.
Love you so much. Food distribution program. Should we do an ID and read the food distribution PSA? I'll get it.
Yes. This is 96.9 FM, KMRD LP, Madrid, New Mexico. And you are tuned in to the Hatch Attack Hours with Little Queen Trash Mouth and today with Dream Queen. And on that note, the Madrid Food Program distributes food to members of our community weekly on Friday mornings. Food program distribution has moved to a temporary location while renovations are happening at the fire station. Friday morning pickup is now happening at number 9 Cave Road, and the sign-up sheet is posted on the front door there. You can also sign up and learn more by emailing madridfoodprogram@gmail.com, and the food pickup's at 9 a.m. It doesn't say that.
I want to also say that if you miss the food pickup, then there are some little food pantries around. Madrid has 2 little food pantries. One is located in front of KMRD, and the other is at the corner of Highway 14 and Firehouse Lane. Anyone is welcome to take what they need 24 hours a day and leave items for others. Accepted items are unopened, non-perishable foods, toiletries, and paper products. This project is an extension of the Madrid Food Program. You can learn more about what they do by emailing madridfoodprogram@gmail.com.
That's right.
And I just want to throw in real quick that this binder is full of ways that our community shows up for each other.
That's a great point. Thank you for that.
Yes. I just wanted to take a minute. I mean, I'm totally down to hear a song, but I wanted to.
No. I love that. Yeah, it's true.
We have the harm reduction van. Mm-hmm. We have the disaster preparedness instructions.
Firefighter stuff.
The volunteer firefighter program where you can sign up for free and get all the gear for free. I mean, you don't get to keep it forever, but, you know, unless you can keep some stuff if you go to academy. But you can learn how to do all of this really cool life-saving stuff to help your friends and family and keep your community safe and have access to all this really cool tools. And
yeah.
I mean, I did it for a couple of years, and it was really, really great. There's domestic violence resources in here, the period pods, the Madrid Medical and Dental Fund.
Yep. That's a, yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
We love that. It's Heishi Bang, mm-hmm. our annual gender bending variety show that happens in November. All of the ticket sales and proceeds of that show go to fund a community medical and dental program for us here in town. And anyone that lives here can use it.
That's right.
It's amazing.
Let's see. There's
Fuzz Foundation. There's some bingo fundraisers every once and again for Fuzz Foundation, and that is pet medical care fund for folks here in town with local fuzzy buddies.
Yeah.
So there's actually, this is something I actually talk a lot to my friends who live in Santa Fe and Albuquerque, who are like, how do you like living out there? Like, what's it like? And I'm just like, you know, actually in this day and age, there's no place I would really rather be. Because I do know my neighbors. We do have so many amazing community resources. So much of our community is engaged in helping each other. Community garden is another one. You know, like, we're luckily here still at this point in time a little more set up to face scary times than some other communities are, because we are an actual community.
Will people please keep this in mind as you go to your community meetings and you think about what's really important in life? Because that's the thing about our community meetings, right? We have to have them, and more people should show up. I am one. who should show up to more. And it's, and nobody's going to judge now that things are getting dire. If you start coming out more, don't judge me. That would be me. But you know, as we do this stuff, this petty stuff, you know, who's hurting who by loitering or trying to live?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be more vehicles around with people living in them. So you just get used to seeing that right now.
Yeah. It's yes.
Or you pull the person out of the street and
or be part of the solution.
Build them a shed.
Yep.
But at least don't.
Don't make anybody's day harder.
This is on us too.
Yep.
This is on us too in this community. And we can't move here and love it for being this and then shun all of the things
that made it this way.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I have this piece of paper, this 7 pieces of paper. that are our solutions. That is an article.
Was it the Substack one?
Ijemo Olu. How we get through this beyond the book. Buckle up, y'all. Stuff's about to get really tough, right?
Yep.
And I'm just going to skip over to the bullet points. Is now a good time? I'm not going to take over your show.
Yeah, I want to... No, you can. but I want to do before the solution parts, the part that I read to you in Hot Diggity the other night, but this is just quoting directly from the article. So first, here are some things that I want to remind us all of. Number one, this is not the first time our government has descended into open fascism. Our government has always on some level been targeting, silencing, and oppressing people. Usually it is done quietly or with some great PR, but sometimes it's quite open. Our government has enslaved people, actively committed genocide, has locked its own citizens in internment camps, has openly hunted down dissenters and encouraged others to do the same, has dropped bombs on its own people, has repeatedly censored the press, has incarcerated and murdered movement workers, and so much more. And we exist, you and me, and all our lovely listeners exist because of how people here have actively resisted that fascism and cared for each other through all of these nightmare times. Survival is in our blood because we are here, even though our systems don't want us to be. And then number two, we actually have the power to effectively fight this. It may not seem like it, but it's true. I've been to countless protests this last year alone, and it feels like the words and actions of our representatives have barely budged. But these powers that be are terrified of us. Believe it or not, none of this works without us. They need our labor, our resources. They need us. And they are terrified that we will figure that out. That we'll realize that they are doing more harm than good and we don't need them, and we will come together and decide to tear it all down. That is why we are seeing an increase in fascism. That is why protesters are being demonized and criminalized. They want to stop all of this before it gets out of their control, because it can get out of their control. They wouldn't spend so many resources trying to suppress us if they didn't have to.
All right, applause, applause, snap, snap, snap. I want to go over a couple points that dinged out when you were reading that. Should we just start calling the fundamentalist right?
Because Christian nationalist right?
Yes, and maybe some more. I'm going to work on an acronym and try to bring it to the table tomorrow. And we should definitely do that whole show on the 2025 petition thing. But, you know, as we are peeling back, you, my linguist friend, and as we have visited our book club and we're talking about language, I think it's really important that we narrow in some of these dog whistle words, where I think a lot of liberals will stop listening when, what are they calling us now? Radical
Antifa?
Left. Radical leftists.
The anti-fascists? which, yes, I very much
like
am.
When us start talking about they. You know, then it sounds like a conspiracy. They, but you know, again, Leonard Leo and every one of these, we're talking about the, what's the organization that you just mentioned where I shared that?
The Heritage Foundation. All of the think tanks.
All of them.
Not good.
the ones who sponsor Kyle Rittenhouse's college tour. All of these people, they are no longer in the shadows. They are no longer the they. They're just like, we're taking back America to be what it was in the 1700s, 1800s, and 1900s. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I start to think about 50 years ago, right? We talk a lot about the civil rights era of the 60s and events leading up to that on my show. And I take inspiration from the ways that people fought. We're still drawing on what they did back then. And there's got to be more people now. Like they, like those freedom fighters overcame and made so much happen with fewer folks than I think we have now. Like so many of us have had a taste of freedom, let alone the population being bigger. But so many of us know what it feels like to have something close to a desirable life, right? Things had gotten better for many, many people. Of course, they stayed terrible. That's why for some, and that's why we had to continue to move forward, to march forward, right? And now the dance has taken step backs, and we got to go over the same ground so that we can maybe get one more step forward. It's like a treadmill sometimes. So I'm asking people who may not have spoken up before in your life, but your heart is in the right place, to do these acts of love and service, even if you don't feel comfortable putting it on your Facebook or going to a march. There are things that you're doing, I know you're doing, out of your heart. And there are letters you can write and mail them from across town, or when you're on your next vacation, you know, where, you know, you can do all kinds of things to make your voice heard and vote. I know people are saying it doesn't. Some people say, I believe vote. A lot of people died. A lot of people bled. A lot of people were given, you know, disappeared. A lot of people were disappeared, were bombed, trying to get folks the right to vote. That means it means something.
It does. Okay? It's just not the only step. That's
yeah.
I'm not ever advocating for not voting. Right. You have to vote and.
Vote and.
Yep. And vote in your primaries.
Yes. Yes. Also, young people, you know, if you have the ability to and the desire to get involved in civics.
Yes.
Civic leadership, government, young people, it's your world. It is your world more than it's our world anymore. You're inheriting this mess. Be active. Support your, believe in your own voice.
Yeah. Know who your county commissioners are. Know who your city comptroller is. That one sounds boring as hell because it's the city accountant. But guess what? That's who's determining your city budget.
Yeah.
Like that's where transparency about where our tax dollars are actually spent locally comes from.
And be one.
Yep. Oh.
That's
the
what
LA,
I'm saying.
The LA city comptroller is one of my favorite politicians right now. This man, Kenneth Meija, he's a Filipino American. He ran with like no funding. He just bought a bunch of billboards and put up this current city budget breakdown and was like, if you want transparency like this, vote for me. And he got like 85% of the votes LA.
Yeah.
And he's amazing. You can follow him on Instagram.
What's his name again?
He's great. Kenneth Meija. It's like M-E-I-J-A.
And that's what I'm saying. Amazing. You know, you could do this. We talk about Cori Bush, you know, like you don't really have to be a millionaire. They make it seem like that. And it is rough. But the way the world is turning, again, thanks to the youth.
Yes.
Thanks to a lot of the technology that we have right now. Grassroots politics. People are getting a toehold like they haven't had in probably 100 years.
Why they want to ban TikTok or why they want to own it to control narratives, because these tools are effective.
Don't be afraid to, you know, get off the sugar and pay attention in class and see what you can do. The other thing is what you don't be. Think about what you don't want to be when you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of tools of the job you don't want to be. And if, you know, it's a very strange, law and order is a strange profession, you know. We have a desire to keep each other safe. If we're talking about care for our community, and there is the warrior aspect of all of our being, right? There's the divine masculine and the divine feminine, and all of those halves of us that show up as warriors and nurturers in each in their different way, and warrior women and warrior men. And warrior theys and all of us who are just little orbs of light out here. I know you want to go pick up a gun and defend something. I'm not telling you not to, because there's that guy that I sent that Instagram to you. Tell me his name again. the one from the Heritage Foundation, Kevin, and he literally said,
yeah, he's calling
in words that this is a second American Revolution. Now he's on Fox News or whatever here. Promoting Project 2025.
No, he's on the other one, the worst one. I forget what it is. The one that's like more right than Fox News.
Okay.
He's on that one. But his name is Kevin Roberts.
Kevin Roberts.
And he's the president of the Heritage Foundation. And he's...
I mean, yeah.
I need a dongle. I would have plugged it in, but I don't have a dongle.
The clip. Well, but, tune in tomorrow. It's in the cab. We'll have the clip.
Yeah.
And if you go to In the Cab... what is it? Freak. Dream Queen 3 a.m. on Instagram. Yeah. Is that my show?
Yeah.
if you go to my Instagram.
OAN. Thank you, Katie. Yeah. Thank you, DJ Barnacle.
Thank you. What is it?
OAN is that? The other network that's more right than Fox.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you follow In the Cab on Instagram, we have the clip there and more will be coming forward. But he's literally... calling out what he's calling the radical left, and
he just says the left,
leftists if on the MSNBC. Left it be. So he's like, the second revolution can be bloodless if the left lets it be, and that's basically a dog whistle for to me. I'm hearing to lay down and
roll
take
over
it.
And take fascism. That's exactly what it
and
is,
and that is. Again, the reply that I saw from Joy Ann Reed on the readout and her guest was fire. Here's two 60-something, older middle-aged black women like, I didn't do it before and I ain't gonna lay down now. Like, I'm from Queens. You know, we knew who Donald Trump was when he was back then. So we've been staying ready, right? So what they need to make their little bloody revolution happen is they need cops that believe in their agenda. They need military personnel who believe in their agenda. They need Proud Boys and girls who believe in their agenda. They need foot soldiers who feed into this agenda. And like I've said on my show, exactly. Like I've said on my show, exactly. When you are a militant fascist foot soldier, you are in the streets getting tear gassed with the anti-fascists.
Yep.
When we commit violence to each other in the streets at the whim of the vampires, dementors of doom, we are all in danger.
The stormtroopers were very disposable to the Empire, right? Like,
totally.
Yeah. Like, when I say, yeah, it's a blood cult, yours too.
Yeah.
You think that, again, to the foot soldiers, they don't care about you either.
Right. It's a kerfuffle where we'll all kill each other off and they'll be in their bunkers. It's not even a golf course thing anymore. They've got the golf courses in the bunkers.
Somebody's building those bunkers, though. And they got friends and family who maybe is friends with one of, you know what I mean? It's like, find your 3 degrees of separation from the handlers of these people.
And that's a thing, because a lot of them that, there are many that were built during the 50s, during the Cold War times.
Yes.
A lot of those bunkers already existed and have been maintained precisely because this has been nuclear war. Since nuclear war has been an issue, they've been building and maintaining these bunkers. So I'm talking World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't go clean the bunkers. But that's it's going to be prison labor too. Military or prison, you're going to have to sign up for one or the other. But we're not saying that. That's not what's going to happen. We're going to do we're going to have interdependence.
There we're going to go. Here we go. Here's the solution.
We're not doing that.
Hey, wait,
listen,
hold on.
We're not going to fantasize. We're not going to have a fantasy death cult either.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
We're not putting energy into that
These are just possibilities.
No. But there are things that are already there that we need to know about. Yeah. That we need to know. But we also need to imagine and know that other things exist. Right? Other things exist. Paradise is here.
Yes.
Where is it?
I'm going to play you a song and we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
All right. So now we're going to go back to the Substack article titled How We Get Through This by Ijima Oluo.
Yeah.
That's I'm going to spell it for y'all. I-J-E-O-M-A. And then the last name is O-L-U-O.
O-L-O-U.
Thank you. Yes. God, I was out in the sun a lot yesterday.
It's just because it's not English.
No, it's not. It's because I'm tired and I need glasses. Thank you for keeping me checked on that. And it is free on Substack. I know sometimes Substack is behind a paywall, but this one is not. So we appreciate that. And again, the title is just how we get through this. And here are some ways. The first one is probably my favorite and something I talk a lot about on this show. Give up on reform, babies. It is the system doesn't need to be reformed. It needs to be dismantled and started anew, because all of these things, all of the restrictions on free speech, restrictions on bodily autonomy, property over people, all of this stuff is baked into the system itself. There's no reforming it. No matter how much icing you put on this cake, it is still a fascist cake. So we have to get a new cake.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
I just told everybody to vote and run for office. Know.
Well, I mean, you still have people that hold office. Like,
are there people that are
there are other systems
that, yeah,
we can have, like, I think we still need representatives. And actually, if you go back to my friend William Benbow and his big pamphlet about his idea for the general strike, that's in there, is like the reason we need a 1 month in his opinion, I think it now needs to be longer and different. But at the time when he wrote this, 1830, he said we need a month long to not work and get together as our working class UK citizens ourselves and figure out what we need and have our own elected officials from, like, basically stage our own Congress. We get together. These are our issues. Okay. We hear your pitch and actually elect true representatives. Anybody that's interested in that kind of stuff, I highly recommend you read William Benbow's The Grand National Holiday and Congress of the Productive Class, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. I read it a few weeks ago in pretty much its entirety, and I've already done that a couple times before. I'll probably do it again because I love it so much. But until we're there, like, yeah, we still have to do the best we can within this system.
Because we're not telling people to just have pandemonium in the streets.
No.
When this folks say tear it down, it's not like a January 6th vibe. Mm-mm.
No, it's more of like a food not bombs vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Of we just are not operating within your capitalist systems anymore. Like, we're here, we're gonna convene together visibly so that you know we're doing it, that, like, you know. And more community members can join. We're going to feed each other. We're going to not depend on monetary exchange for our existence, right? Like, so that's the idea of building the systems outside that then make this one obsolete.
Right.
But as far as, like, for me, the give up on reform, like, this really, the way that I talk about it the most is when we talk about policing in prison is, there is no reforming that system. It needs to be abolished. Carceral systems are problematic, again, from their root. It is not the way. And again, I always like to remind people that a lot of folks, quote unquote, liberal progressive minds at the time were arguing for slavery reform as well, not full out abolition. Mm-hmm. So when you think about being a reformist versus an abolitionist,
right,
know the history. Let's see. Right now, I'm going to read more from this article, from the section of the Give Up on Reform. Right now, it is so clear that the effort to maintain exploitative systems of power crosses all party lines, and that there is nobody we can elect to office who will change the system they are elected into in any meaningful way, because the system won't allow it. Our representatives can't represent us. They're not allowed to, and most don't want to. This, I feel, a lot has mostly to do with the federal level. I feel very differently about local governments, and I will get into that in just a minute. And that doesn't mean harm reduction work can't be done by some people in these spaces, but it does mean that at some point we have to admit that harm reduction is just buying those oppressive systems more time and putting off the inevitable, which is that we have to tear this down if we want to survive. So stop letting people sell you incremental change. Stop putting your precious time and resources into reform that will never reform anything, and start supporting real revolutionary work happening outside of our systems. I would add to that too, be more involved in your local government. Go to city council meetings, go to county commissioner meetings. Because even if those representatives aren't representing you, guess what? You're going to probably meet someone who's in the audience of that meeting who is also interested in working outside of these systems, and you can start building connections and networks that way.
Point three is that, and I found it to be very inspiring. Number two, strengthen your community connections. You're going to need people. Build friendships and connections based on community care. All right, I'm not going to read this word for word. Y'all know you can go to mixcloud.com, Dream Queen 3 AM, and check up the whole series on All About Love.
Yeah.
Lil Queen Trash Mouth, Icky Mac, Bad DJ, the High Priestess, Adrian. And Brianna, Adrian, myself.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
And a lot of people who were reading along but weren't on the show. I think community connections, we can't build them if we don't do the personal work.
Yeah.
We can't maintain our relationships if we don't do the personal work. And a lot of that tips on how to get in touch with yourself and be a human that is learning how to interact with other humans. There's some good tips in All About Love by Bell Hooks. There's a lot of good tips coming from Dr. King, and listen to my show. And I'm not saying I'm a professional at it, but that's the direction that I'm going in. That ties into number three, which is fully integrate your movement relationships into your life. And again, I'm selflessly plugging because you're also a big part of this project that I'm building here. And, right now, what's happening in my life is sorting relationships. Mm-hmm. And I know that many people are having a difficult time as we are waking up and realizing that what was working for us before, personally and communally, is no longer working. And the emotional and strain and the physical strain that comes along with having to readjust our relationships and lose people, invite new people in, learning to trust again, losing trust or feeling unfulfilled by previous relationships that were enough at one time. This is a lot of strain. In the acknowledgement of that, keep going and find people and resources that are able to support you in this process. And so Ijoma is saying that if you're running into the same people at protest after protest and never seeing them in any other context, or these people are your friends on social media and you never talk about anything else, you know, deepen some of those relationships. And we're going to have to make movement work a bigger part of our lives if we're going to get through this. Support your movement homies in their pursuits and interests outside of the next protest, because we are fighting for all that we are.
Yes.
And I just want to be so grateful to you and my other activist friends, and even people who've cracked their hearts a little bit, you know, to building stronger ties personally outside of just meetings and things like that. It's been important to have validating relationships in the struggle.
We need that. I mean, we need it.
Yeah.
I know there are some people out there who truly believe that they are self-sufficient individualists, but I guarantee you're not.
No. You're going to break a leg or get a snake bite or hit your head. And maybe you're okay with that all happening to you out there alone. And that's totally no judgment, because it's...
I'm sorry, I'm going to sidetrack for a minute. I've been having a lot of online conversations with a former coworker in the farming world about like the homestead movement and how mostly white former liberals who are now like, oh, the system's too messed up, I'm just going to drop out and go live by myself off grid in the wood, or like with my family, whatever. and spinning this whole like self-sufficiency outside of the system story. But like, where are you getting your solar panels from? Like, where did you get the paint for that new wood you just put on your house? Where'd the wood come from? Like, no one is self-sufficient. Like, in this globalized system, we are all dependent on, guess what, guys? Workers somewhere or another to get what we need.
Yeah.
We need each other. And that's good. That's beautiful. That's, again, what will get us through this. So.
Yeah. High Priestess sent me a note yesterday. She said, Happy Interdependence Day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want me to keep going? Or do,
you
or
can you keep going. Okay. I have it on my phone. It's okay. You probably have an easier
show you paper
read.
If you want.
Either way.
All right. Well, I'll just read some more. Get a hobby or two. I love that.
Yeah.
You're going to need something you enjoy doing. Something that is accessible and affordable that can really take up your time and attention when you need it and is completely unrelated to organizing work. Oh.
Yes. What, I know. That's where I struggle because guess
everything
what?
I do.
All my hobbies are intertwined. But like sometimes I don't know if that's that bad. Like, I mean, I like to read, right? Like I'd say reading is one of my hobbies and like I'm always sure to like, yes, read my theory and Marxist, you know, I have always one of those kind of going, but I'm always also reading something like some work of fiction, something that is takes me outside of, you know, puts you in somebody else's shoes, right?
Fiction. You do your art too.
Yeah, but also that also ends up being work. A lot of, I mean, right it's now my favorite hobby right now is making like my propaganda buttons, but like is that now like that's still involved in organizing? So, but you know what? I think too, if you can make it, if you find the part within movements and organizing that doesn't feel like work, like that's amazing. You know?
I would like it to be for me, like maybe more exercise, getting out in the nature. And again, if I think about stuff long enough, then you know, it's going to tie back to organizing work because any method of self-care is organizing, honestly. Here, I'm going to let you go to the next one.
Okay.
Sorry, thanks. I can read it again.
No, it's okay. I got it.
Because it's a topic near and dear to my heart right now.
Okay,
even though I don't do
it.
Okay, I'll take it. This is another one. Number 5, get therapy if you can. Okay. Ijoma says, okay, I know that therapy isn't accessible or easy for everyone. I know that there is a lot of privilege in being able to get therapy, but if you have the ability and privilege to get good individual or group therapy, please prioritize it. Getting a Black, queer, somatic therapist has literally changed my life and may well save it in the future. If you don't have access to therapy, ... But yes, everyone, it's been a thing. And I would like to say that I'm beginning to do work to get some therapists on my show. Non-traditional therapists who are trained, but also have different methods than that. It's not just Freud and Jung or whoever. Yeah. So
for sure. And so then it goes, so if you don't have access to therapy, ... pick up a meditation practice. Mm-hmm. And I will just say I personally sometimes prickle at the word meditation because so many people are attached to it looking like one thing, which it doesn't need to and it shouldn't because we're all very different beings with different needs. And I think I appreciate that that is addressed here. So as Ijima says, there are some great meditation apps out there, free or paid, that can guide you through meditation, and that ability to cultivate an inner sense of peace and an internal method of care is crucial. And if you aren't down for traditional meditative practices, know that any practice that centers and calms you is beneficial. A good walk, a bike ride, a music session, prayer, dance, anything that connects you to yourself and allows you to check in with yourself is really important.
Yep.
So yoga too, like for me, I would say that yoga would be my meditation practice I can't just sit and like, I'm not one of those meditators. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. I bet no one here is surprised to hear that. But yoga of connecting the breath too with movement, like does cause my brain to focus only on one, you know.
Right.
It's really hard for you to spin out mentally when you are connecting a body movement to a breathing cycle. Your brain really can't focus on a lot else, which is great.
Nice. Yeah, mine is sitting in my chair staring at the Apple TV photo montage.
Roku City.
Yeah. No, but the one on that's on mine is like super, like it's just big old drone shots of so many places in the world. And so many beautiful, they're just all beautiful, natural. I think I have mine set to nature. So it's like jellyfish and schools of
tuna. It is really pretty. I've seen it.
Yeah, I love it.
Someday I want to talk about the decline of Roku City and how it's mirroring our decline.
See, Roku never felt right to me. Maybe that's
no,
why.
But like, you know the home screen?
Yes,
you know
I'm talking about? It's too much.
Anyway, that's for another show. But it used to be like cute and have movie Easter eggs, and now it's all ads. Uh-huh. And I'm like, capitalism came for Roku City. But anyway, I digress. To number seven. This one's important, and this one is a hard one for me to remember. I'm really bad about this. Set boundaries around trauma consumption.
Yes.
And the first sentence after this, yes, it is quite the privilege to decide when and how you get to engage with the horrors of the world. And it is a privilege that we can take for granted and that many of us don't have or won't have in the near future.
Yeah, get it while you can.
But creating space for rest and joy is fundamental to our survival.
Get it while you can.
Yes, and it's that is a very real thing, is right now, here in this community, we do still have the privilege of being able to step away and take a breath. Again, there are so many factors that could change that at any moment. Water, fire, fascism, like, you know, there are
car accident,
environmental, there's just so many things.
A careening Tesla.
I was going to say, yeah, for us as a community, but then for us as individuals, that list gets even longer and crazier. Yeah, for sure.
I have that song, that Diana Ross song, Precious Moments, in my head right now. Precious moments. Yeah. Like, get them while we can.
You can't, and it's for real. It's important. It's even, you know, in my trauma consumption, I have even seen videos of folks that are experiencing an active genocide in Palestine, being able to take breaks for joy where they can find it, right? So we need that. That's what keeps us human in the face of inhuman behavior, I believe.
I have a sentence from that paragraph right in the middle. You cannot effectively fight these systems while you are falling apart.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Cannot pull that clockwork orange. They're going to catch you and do whatever. So keep it together while you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
You doing number eight?
Oh, we kind of already touched on this, but we're going to, I want to do eight and nine.
Okay.
So number eight is know your community resources, y'all. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Dream Queen for going through the PSA notebook. I feel like we gave quite a few examples of local community resources. Guess what another really great one is? A library.
Yeah.
Libraries are amazing. Support them. Use your library again while you can. What else? The RTD, the blue bus that comes out here. Mm-hmm. That's public transportation community resource.
There's one in here about your state park pass that gets you into museums. Yes. Free of charge. So, you know, if you can scrounge up something, I mean, it's just use these things. Yeah, here it is. Library Museum Pass. Mm-hmm. Santa Fe Public Library offers more services than just books. With a library card, you can also check out museum and state park passes. That's it. These passes offer free access to places such as the International Folk Art Museum, the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture, the New Mexico Natural History Museum, and many more. All you need to reserve a pass is a valid library card. And for more information, you can visit santafelibrary.org. And I just want to say, you know, that I did just get back from a very powerful trip where I was with Bad DJ. And I'm going to keep it brief because we got some more points. But we ran into a moment when we were approaching the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park where we were like $35 a car. And she's like, well, I got a pass. It's a senior pass from, the parks. Let me see what it does, you know. And it was a real like, oh, you know, is this going to be like some of my food money? Like, what are we going to do to get in? But we're going to do it. And then they didn't take cash. It was card only, right? So she's like, I got this. And they're like, you're good. She's like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. We're like, you're good for free. Here's a map. And it's to me, like when we're talking about hobbies and meditation and spiritual practice, like strolling up into nature.
Yeah.
You know, and when especially nature that's behind a paywall sometimes, and you get that extra boost of, wow, you know, like I'm in a sacred area and it's somebody's trying to withhold it on some aspects. But, you know, I'm going to do this library card thing.
Yeah.
And visit the museums and get some culture and learn stuff.
The Folk Art Museum is one of the best places on earth.
Get smarter. The more we free your mind and your ass will follow. We love that one.
Yeah.
You know, learn something and then it opens your heart and your mind.
It's true. Right. Actually, I was going to say when I was talking about reading fiction, I've been spouting this fact to a lot of people, but like a lot of psychiatrists and sociologists believe like the best thing you can do to increase empathy or understanding of somebody else's experience is to read fiction.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you are only getting somebody else, like a totally different person's perspective. And yeah. Okay. Yeah. So read fiction, y'all.
And poetry.
And yes.
Cause all poetry is somebody else's feelings.
I am going to talk about number 9, and this might actually take the rest of it. I mean, I need to do a whole, Number 9 is wear a mask. And I cannot, I don't know if I have enough time to encapsulate all my feelings around what's going on with masks in this country right now. But again, it's scary. And if like for those who don't know, there are a lot of local governments, state level and city level in the country right now trying to pass mask bans. Y'all, it was less than 4 years ago when you had to wear one everywhere. So like, what is happening?
That part.
COVID is still very real. The CDC just came out a couple days ago and said, never mind, COVID's a year-round problem. Surges can happen at any time. It's definitely airborne. And we're still looking at local governments trying to ban masks.
Do we still have a CDC now that we have the federal?
For right now, we do.
Okay.
In 6 months, we might not.
Okay.
Or again, they will still exist. Okay, we're going to have to talk about more of this in the Project 2025 context. But so the Chevron deference doesn't abolish the federal agencies. It just says that federal agencies do not have to be consulted on confusing legislature now. That legislature can go straight to a court and the judge can decide whether or not you can put asbestos in the drinking water instead of talking to a water expert now.
Right.
That's what's happened
with
that. But anyway, this whole mask thing is yet again something that is being pitched as we want to stop protesters, all this. And it is absolutely a step backwards towards when we had actual ugly laws on the book. I want to talk about ugly laws on my show at some point, but that was basically the set of laws that made it almost impossible for folks with disabilities to function in public.
Mm. What?
Yes. This is the thing. It's alongside the vagrant laws, too. They weren't officially called ugly laws, but that's, I mean, it was like, I don't want to, I know, I'm sorry to drop all this right at the end.
That's what we can do to make it better.
Wear a mask, a mask, and be against mask bans. That's, there's that. Okay. We can skip 10 because we've already talked about that.
Tell them what it is, though.
10 is support mutual aid and grassroots organizing. Yes, we know how to do that. Build robust information networks. Hey, thank you, KMRD. This is a robust information network right here. This is non-commercial media, right? Mm-hmm. That's huge.
It's supported by our listeners and organizational sponsors.
Yes.
And you can learn how to get some plugs for your business by becoming an underwriter of our station, which helps cover our operating budget. You can just go ahead and email Stella at howdy@kmrd.com.
And I like, yep.
All right. So
then it says use social media, but also follow independent news organizations, subscribe to newsletters, news feeds from independent groups and orgs. The more diversified our sources of information, the harder it is to keep that information from us. And that is true because, again, so much of our news in this country is controlled by one family, guys. One. So support your independent medias.
Stella, howdy@kmrd.fm.
Yes.
I fell off on the end there. Just want to make sure.
Sorry.
Can I do number 8 and then give it to you for this takeaway song? 12, I'm sorry.
Yes, please.
Cultivate joy. So in this piece, our lovely author, I'm trying to give her credit one more time by saying her name wrong. What you said, I think you said it closer to right than I did.
I think it's Ijima.
Ijima Olu. And she says, remember, we're not just fighting against fascism, colonialism, and oppression. We are fighting for us. We are fighting for our lives, for our freedom, for our communities, for our children. There are so many ways in which our lives can be taken from us, and they can be taken from us while we are still living. How we live matters. Every day that we choose joy, that we choose justice, that we choose respect, that we choose connection, that we choose care, every day that we make these loving choices in the face of oppression and exploitation, we are fighting for our lives and we are winning. This fight isn't sustainable if we don't know what we are fighting for and if we don't fight for it every day. Y'all hear me now, okay? What we are fighting for is a better life for all of us. And all of these things take responsibility and care. And, you know, she didn't put on here truth. That's a huge part of justice, and a huge part of care is being truthful. Yep. And vulnerable. And I appreciate everybody listening, being great listeners and supporters. That's the other half of it. I'm vulnerable, you hold space. You're vulnerable and I hold space, and we just do the best we can. And if we it up one time or three or five, we just try to do it again.
That's right. And
practice, practice, practice.
Yep, practice, practice, practice. All them fascists bound to lose. Have a good weekend unless you're exploiting workers.
And tune in tomorrow and listen to all of us on my show for 10 a.m. I mean, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
KMRD.FM.